Welcome to the Staying Young Show. This is Judy, and I'm here with Dr. Mark Anderson and Dr. Walter Gammon. We're the authors of the book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, and the voices of Executive Medicine of Texas. Each week on the Staying Young Show, we bring you information that you can use. So if you want to share something you heard on the show, just go to iTunes.com, search The Staying Young Show. You can download all the past shows there for free. I have to tell you, Dr. Anderson and I had a discussion about this today, and he said, you got to stop telling everybody to go to iTunes. If they don't know iTunes is free by now, and they don't know iTunes exists, they probably, you know, if they don't know you have it, they probably aren't going to get it. But I'm telling you, listeners, if you don't have iTunes, it's a great thing. And if you're not familiar with it, get your daughter or your granddaughter or grandson or son to hook you up, because outside of our show, there's a lot of great stuff on iTunes you can put on your phone. So there, Dr. Anderson.
they don't know how to use it by now. They probably aren't going to get it, but that's okay.
No, but here's the thing. They are going to get it, because our guest today is going to help them with their memory and their brain power so that everyone will be technically savvy. I'm not sure that – I'm going to put that disclaimer out there. That's not what he said. That's just what I'm saying. But I'm really excited for the show today. We have Dr. Richard Isaacson, author of the book Alzheimer's Diet, A Step-by-Step Nutritional Approach for Memory Loss, Prevention, and Treatment. And this Harvard-trained neurologist is going to spend the hour with us and help you, our listeners, make dietary changes that could improve your memory. So we're super excited to have you. Thank you for coming on, Dr. Isaacson.
Great. Thanks, Judy. Thanks so much. I can tell you, what's iTunes again? I'm forgetting.
You need to read your book.
Absolutely.
I think ECT treatment might help your memory there, Doc.
Yeah. That's a psychiatry colleague of mine, not neurology.
Well, we have a special interest in the neuroscience. I've got a daughter studying neuroscience, and so I get little emails from her, and she pushes articles to me with stuff she's seeing. But, you know, the interesting is she and I have had conversations about how nutrition can affect it. You got any suggestions, or how did you come about tying nutrition in with the Alzheimer's?
Right. So, you know, I'm an Alzheimer's neurologist. That's 100% of what I do. But actually, I have a family history of Alzheimer's disease. When I was growing up, my Uncle Bob was diagnosed when I was in high school, and he was the first person that was diagnosed. And then basically, after 12 years of medical training, two-year fellowship in Alzheimer's, and a little bit of everything, basically 6 weeks later, I was at a wedding. My dad's cousin, Charlotte, was actually sitting right at my table, and that was the next person in my family that was diagnosed. And actually, currently, I have four different family members that actually have had either memory loss or Alzheimer's disease. So I take a pretty comprehensive approach. And what I found, we can do a lot for Alzheimer's patients, and to not only treat memory loss but also prevent it. But the take-home point is it's a multimodal approach. You can't just, you know, put someone on a drug and think it's going to, you know, magically go away. There's nothing, we can't cure Alzheimer's, and we can't prevent it with one magic pill or a magic patch. But the multimodal attack approach, using safe and balanced, effective ways that we've seen in the literature, absolutely has to be the way we attack Alzheimer's disease in 2013.
Well, I'm really feeling your pain, because I had my, as our listeners know, I had my DNA sequenced. I don't know if you're familiar with the 23andMe.
I am, absolutely.
Yeah. And I came back with a higher risk of Alzheimer's disease, which there is some dementia and Alzheimer's in my family line. So that when this came across my my desk, I was like, we've got to have him on the show. This is really fascinating.
You have to understand, Judy does whatever the diet of the book we get, we're talking to the guest, that she's on that diet for a week to 10 days. Her GI tract doesn't know whether it's coming or going.
This is true. In the last year, I've been a vegan. I've been a raw only. But this one I'm going to stick to, because, you know, I have to.
There again, it's a little more balanced. What we try to do is we try to take, you know, all of the different research from all of the different areas, and basically it's not just, you know, one diet. It's not the vegan diet, or it's not a paleo diet or something like that. It's basically a brain-healthy diet. And if there is a nutritional intervention study out there that has shown definitive evidence or even suggestive evidence and is safe, that's the kind of diet we recommend. And listen, I'm right there with you. I know what my genes look like also, and my research actually focuses on the personalized nutrition, personalized medicine sort of thing. I actually wrote an article just last year about pharmacogenomics and nutrigenomics, meaning making specific treatment and nutrition recommendations based on someone's genes. And that's actually what we're doing now with the research. We don't just treat every patient the same. We actually make targeted recommendations based on their genes as well.
I think that is such a great idea. And as much as Dr. Anderson makes fun of me, I don't see this book as one of those, you know, fad diets. I see this as a total change of the way that we live. And as we know, 1 in 7 people over the age of 71 have dementia.
Yeah, so Richard, to talk generally, I know you were talking about specific recommendations, which I think is fabulous and is obviously the wave of the future in medicine. But generally speaking, do you think if people have a high-fat diet and they continue on a high-fat diet, they have an increased risk of dementia?
So I got to go to some studies to quote, and then basically my gestalt question, my just gestalt answer here is not all fat is created equal, just like not all carbohydrates are created equal, not all protein is created equal. And I think it's not just maybe one component. I think people that have high-fat diets and, you know, fried and fatty foods probably have higher risks. And actually, if you look at some of the data, I think that's true. I think the evidence is a little bit more conclusive for lower carbohydrates, the Mediterranean-style diet, healthy fats versus unhealthy fats. You know, certain fats in moderation is good for you. You know, olive oil, avocados, certain nuts, you know, moderation, certain fish oils and fatty acids I actually think are very brain healthy and brain protective. So it's hard to make a general statement, but I think we have data that shows for prevention and treatment, moderating the amount of fat and carbohydrates can actually improve memory function and possibly reduce risk.
Well, I think for our listeners, here's the takeaway, right? Forgo the Dairy Queen and pick up an avocado.
That's a great take-home point.
I think that is key.
When you go back, you were talking about the genetics in some of this, and we'll get into that in different ethnic groups, that not all diets apply to all patients, but at what age can the change in diet have an effect? I mean, if it's later in life, can it still be effective?
This is a super important question. Really glad you asked. You know, when it comes to Alzheimer's disease, the changes in the brain actually occur 20 to 30 years before the onset of any symptoms.
So, did you hear that, folks? 20 to 30 years before the onset of any symptoms. We've got to head to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk about micronutrient deficiencies. We're going to talk about when the onset actually happens for dementia. But don't go away, because all this and more, you're listening to the Staying Young Show. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. When people see my face and they compare it to my headshot a year ago, they always ask the same question. What have you done and why do you look so much younger? Well, on the Staying Young Show, we stay on top of the latest and greatest medical advancements, and that's how we heard about the newest technology on anti-aging, and that stem cell cream that's made from non-embryonic human stem cells. It's made by a company called Lifeline Skincare. And they actually work only and exclusively with stem cells. Now, stem cells cause your skin to produce young, healthy skin cells and replace the older, damaged ones. Within just 3 to 4 weeks, you'll see your skin looking smoother, brighter, and younger, just like mine. Now you can learn about this fantastic breakthrough by calling 817-552-4300 or stayyoungskin.com. That's 817-552-4300 or stayyoungskin.com. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. You can start feeling the effects of hormone changes as early as 30 years of age. And if you're a man or a woman with symptoms of fatigue, loss of stamina, lack of concentration, or a dwindling sex drive, then you may be the perfect candidate for bioidentical hormone therapy. Forget the shots or messy creams. At Executive Medicine of Texas, we offer Bio-T bioidentical hormone therapy pellets that are more effective and more convenient. If you're ready to get back to a more youthful version of you, call us today at 817-552-4300 or go to the web at emtexas.com. Again, that's 817-552-4300 or on the web at emtexas.com. You can have an increased sex drive, more stamina, and a leaner version of you. Just call 817-552-4300 or go to the web at emtexas.com. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. If you are still seeking out the fountain of youth, wait no longer. In our book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, you will find useful information on every page. From grocery store must-haves for a younger and healthier you to advice on sex and your health. The book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health works like a health and wellness journal that allows you to apply the information in a way that is personal and specific to your circumstances. There is no better time to get healthier and feel younger, and no better place to get your health information than from the experts on preventative and proactive health. Visit stayyoungthebook.com or call 1-800-910-3932. Again, you can purchase your copy today by visiting stayyoungthebook.com or by calling 1-800-910-3932. Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300. Or visit stayyoungvitamins.com. Welcome back to the Staying Young Show, the voices of executive medicine of Texas. If you're just tuning in, this and every segment of the show is featured on iTunes as a free download. Just go to iTunes and search The Staying Young Show. Now, everybody wants to improve their memory and ward off dementia. And for those of you that dementia may be a new word to you, that's that thing that goes beyond the usual forgetfulness. It's not when you just can't remember where you put your keys. It's when you can't remember what the keys are for. And we're talking about all the things that you can do right now to change your diet that will improve your memory. And our special guest is a Harvard-trained neurologist and author of the book, The Alzheimer's Diet, a step-by-step nutritional approach for memory loss prevention and treatment. I think this is a great book, by the way. I think our listeners should definitely pick this up. There's a website, alzheimersdiet.com, where they can pick it up and read through it. It's great. I mean, I think it's a fantastic little workbook and lots of good tips and things in there. But let's talk for a minute about micronutrient deficiencies, because we can't talk about all the things about nutrition without talking about some of the things that we see at Executive Medicine in Texas in our people, because we do, as part of the executive physical experience, they're there half a day. They go through just a menagerie of tests. But it's often where we find that their Montreal cognitive assessment is low is also the same people that we tend to see these micronutrient deficiencies in. So we see that we have a correlation between memory and cognition and nutrition. So we see it within the practice.
Right. And for our listeners, the micronutrient analysis looks at different nutrients within the cell. And it's often the case where people are fatigued. We can't find a reason for the fatigue, or they score poor on their cognition test. They'll have these deficiencies. We correct them and they improve. And Richard, I'm sorry to cut you off. You had a comment about that?
So, when it comes to micronutrients and macro, I mean, there's so much that we now understand. And, you know, if you have one specific, for example, micronutrient deficiency, that can be the sole cause of memory trouble, dementia as well. But also, you can also have Alzheimer's disease or memory loss and have an additional micronutrient or macronutrient issue. And you know what? That memory loss or problem can actually be much worse. So you may actually need to treat two things sometimes, even in my Alzheimer's patients.
Oh, so let's talk about chicken and egg thing. In your, I don't know, opinion, the world according to you right now, and this doesn't have to be based on any previous study, but do you think if people have micronutrient deficiencies and they're left untreated, because I have my opinion, and I'm sure the doctors here have theirs. Do you think that those people then actually put themselves at greater risk for developing dementia and Alzheimer's and a lot of other neurological disorders?
I'm going to say the answer is not entirely clear, but I'm going to say a little controversially yes. And I'm going to say yes because we know that things like, you know, uncontrolled high blood pressure, uncontrolled cholesterol, uncontrolled diabetes will increase the likelihood of you developing Alzheimer's as well as basically make it happen sooner. I can't imagine that if you have untreated micronutrient deficiencies that the same case would be true for Alzheimer's. So I would say most likely yes, but I don't think we have 100% evidence.
All right, I'm going to get a comment from both of the docs here.
I would agree. I think a lot of it may not be, you know, permanent or irreversible type things, but I mean, you know, even in our, you know, Alzheimer's patients, simple things like the nutritional changes that he was alluding to and then, you know, exercise, can make big improvements. So I think a lot of that can still be reversible. You know, I've had the experience on numerous occasions, you get the older guy and he's not demented. You check, and the simple thing, his B12 is low. And I mean, I've had guys tell me they felt better walking out the door into the parking lot after getting their B12 shot.
Absolutely.
You know,
yep.
And I'm sure Walter's had a similar experience. So,
well, yeah. And I mean, this whole hour is about nutrition and dementia. We understand that it's complicated. But micronutrient deficiencies are often a reflection of poor nutrition.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely a correlation.
All right. There's a lot of other things we want to cover this segment. And one thing that's going to kind of take us into that, I think, is what we've put in our bodies over time. And in your book, you have a little comedic relief, real ads that ran to consumers. I think my worst favorite one is the cola ad for babies. I mean, you know, they're telling the mothers to get the kids on these colas as early as possible. And I don't know when that ran, but it makes you wonder if that's actually when cocaine was actually in Coca-Cola.
No, it was later than that. It looked like it was, you know, right across the page from the ad of the doctor advocating his brand of cigarettes, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, when you look back at some of this advertising, you go, what the heck? Okay, so let's talk about one of the things that you really stress in the book. And for our listeners that just may be tuning in, this is the Alzheimer's Diet, a step-by-step nutritional approach for memory loss prevention and treatment. And you talk about a 12-hour fast. And people go, oh, my gosh, I can't fast for 12 hours. That's half a day. But explain it, because it's not that hard.
Absolutely. You know, it's not that hard, and it may actually have brain-boosting effects. You know, when my whole family's from New York, and there's a little saying on Seinfeld, you know, people move from Brooklyn to Boca. And when my family got to Boca Raton, Florida, there were all these early bird specials. And you know what? The early bird special approach to dieting may be good for the brain. So real briefly, in my life, personally, I finished dinner by probably 6 o'clock, maybe 6:30 p.m. And then overnight, that means that when I go home, I don't have any carbohydrates. No, basically, it's fasting. I can have water and I can have, you know, things like that. But if you can actually have a 12-hour fast, say from 6:30 p.m., even a 12, 13, 14-hour fast, so you don't eat breakfast till say 8 o'clock in the morning, that fits with my lifestyle. I'm a morning exerciser, and for me, I'd rather work out in the morning or exercise and maybe burn a little bit more fat than burn the simple carbohydrates that I eat. And in that hour 12, hour 13, hour 14, your body produces a naturally occurring substance called ketones or ketone bodies. And from the research that I've read and from everything that I've worked with, you know, ketones are probably brain protective and probably slow down brain aging during those several hours. So it may be a very quick, easy way to not only protect brain cells, but also reduce the overall amount of calories. And a recent study came out from Mayo Clinic showing that the people that had the least amount of caloric intake, less than, say, 2,100 or so calories a day, those are the patients that had the least onset, least likelihood of developing dementia.
Do you realize how brilliant you are? You have just solved the country's stupidity problem right here. This is the problem.
It's because they're eating ice cream at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night.
Or cereal at 1 in the morning.
You got it.
Now, Richard, caloric intake has also been shown conclusively to cause longevity and to prevent telomeres from shortening. So, do you think there's an interaction there?
Yeah, well, I'm talking to a very well-educated bunch. We could probably talk for 2 hours, not for an hour.
We'll have to have you on again.
That sounds good. You hit the nail on the head. There's a saying. It's called Hari Hachi Bu. It's a Confucianism saying that the folks over in Okinawa, Japan, eat only till you're 80% full.
And that's in our book.
Our
book that's coming out in March. That saying is in our book, and I'm so glad you brought that up.
Great minds think alike, then. Perfect. And the take-home point here is, yes, if you decrease overall caloric intake, it is absolutely tied with longevity. I think one out of every three people that are born in Okinawa that follow this pathway live till over 100. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I think the proof is certainly there.
And they don't just live to over 100. They live well.
Right, absolutely.
And that's the thing. And even like in our book that we mentioned, this comes out in March, Age to Perfection, we're talking about reaching 100, but not doing it in a nursing home.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the key. We're all going to live longer, and we all have the ability to live a long time. It's a matter of how you're going to live, because you may live to be 90 because they've been putting you back together, you know, time and time again out of the OR and the ER and everywhere else. Or, you know, you could live to be 90 and you may just go in for your physical once a year, and you're good.
Well, I love it. It brings up Okinawa. I have one little lady. She's about 85, and she's an immigrant from Okinawa. But she still gardens, and she puts up enough vegetables over the summer that she raises that she's eating those out of the freezer all year long. And she's out there physically active, and her family's in there. It's like, you know, tell mom she doesn't need to be out in the garden gardening. I was like, why? That's keeping her alive. You know, she's physical activity and eating better than you guys are. Maybe you could learn a little something.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have evidence now that actually shows that physical activity not only synergizes with diet to basically improve brain outcomes. So 1 + 1 = 3, not just a healthy diet, add the exercise, you have more of a bang for your buck. But also we're learning more and more that not only physical exercise later in life can potentially decrease that pathologic, that bad protein called amyloid that gets stuck in the brain, but also we're learning that physical activity earlier in life can we've finally proven that this can lower risk for dementia later in life. So we've really made tremendous progress.
Your kids moving. Get these young adults moving. You know, the people that have these desk jobs, get them moving. Bottom line. Hey, there's a lot of things we didn't get to cover yet. Like, we want to talk about the portions of fat, carbs, and protein. Really important information for the listeners. But unfortunately, we got to go to a break. But you do need to stay tuned, because we're not just going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what supplements are best and who should be taking them, what they should be taking, and the difference between different types of supplements, things you may not understand, but you really need to. You're listening to the Staying Young Show. Don't go away.
Do you need a little help getting around but don't like the look or feel of a traditional walker? You're too young to be bothered with one of those clunky old things. Whether you need assistance permanently or just temporarily, the Active Life Support Cart is your solution. This three-wheel design is made of lightweight aluminum and perfect for indoor and outdoor use and easy to travel with. We know that you want to remain active, so it's designed to help you carry everything from your cell phone to a fishing pole. Also, each cart comes with a water bottle and a canvas bag. Adjustable for height, this really is for everyone. Doorways, grass, snow, no problem. You can get through them all with ease. The support cart comes fully assembled and is handmade in America. Sold exclusively at ActiveLifeSupportCart.com. Whether it's for you or a loved one, order yours today at ActiveLifeSupportCart.com. Use coupon code TEXAS33 for a special discount at ActiveLifeSupportCart.com.
Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300. Or visit StayYoungVitamins.com.
This is Dr. Mark Anderson of Executive Medicine Texas, co-host of the Staying Young Show. If you have a lack of stamina, has your sex drive decreased? If so, you could have a vitamin or hormone deficiency, and these symptoms should be taken seriously. Some centers focus solely on the testosterone deficiency and miss other important factors. The Executive Medicine of Texas Vitality Profile includes a thorough physical exam, extensive lab tests, and a review of personal and family history as we look for sources of your symptoms. Schedule your Vitality Profile at Executive Medicine of Texas today by calling 800-910-3932 or visit us on the web at emtexas.com. Again, 800-910-3932 or visit us at the web, emtexas.com.
This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. If you are still seeking out the fountain of youth, wait no longer. In our book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, you will find useful information on every page. From grocery store must-haves for a younger and healthier you to advice on sex and your health. The book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, works like a health and wellness journal that allows you to apply the information in a way that is personal and specific to your circumstances. There is no better time to get healthier and feel younger. And no better place to get your health information than from the experts on preventative and proactive health. Visit StayYoungTheBook.com or call 1-800-910-3932. Again, you can purchase your copy today by visiting StayYoungTheBook.com or by calling 1-800-910-3932.
Welcome back to the Staying Young Show, the voices of Executive Medicine of Texas. If you're just tuning in, this and every show is on iTunes, and I know you're going to want to hear this one especially in its entirety. So go to iTunes.com, search the Staying Young Show. You can find it there. You can find all the past shows there. And we know that you want to learn more about your health, and we know that you want your loved ones to learn more about their health. So be sure to share this show with those that you know and love so we can all get educated together. Now, today's show is all about improving memory through nutrition. And our guest is Harvard-trained neurologist Dr. Richard Isaacson, author of the book The Alzheimer's Diet. Great book, great show. I'm just loving this because I think this is such great information for our listeners. One thing we didn't get into yet, which I definitely want to cover, is the proportions, the fat, carb, protein intake. There's so much out there, and I really want you guys, all the physicians, to weigh in on this because, you know, half the time you hear, oh my gosh, no carbs, all protein. Then you hear, you know, tons of different mixed messages. So let's talk about that, and let's talk about how it applies first to the book about these portions, fat, carb, protein.
Sure. So basically, based on my clinical practice and what I've recommended to patients, what I've recommended for myself, and what I've read in the literature, I try to basically take a moderation approach here. And basically, if you look at all fat as bad or good, then that's not the right way. All fat and all protein and all carbohydrates are not created equal. And the goal that I try to have my patients is that 25% of daily calories should be from fat, and you should try to limit the saturated fat and really try to avoid things like trans fats. When it comes to carbohydrates, 30 to 45% carbohydrates is probably okay, but there's good carbs versus bad carbs. You know, green leafy vegetables, if it's green, eat it. You almost can't get enough of that stuff. Vegetables, whole foods that are low on the glycemic index. What does that mean? Well, glycemic index, as you guys are very well aware, you don't want to raise that blood sugar. Things like simple sugars, high fructose corn syrup, processed cereals, ice cream, crackers, those sorts of things raise the blood sugar, raise the insulin, and insulin is basically released by the body in response. That insulin is actually negative in terms of an effect on your brain. That causes inflammation in the brain. So if we can have healthier carbs, low glycemic carbs, as well as when it comes to protein, high quality lean proteins, fish, chicken, turkey, and specific types of fish that are high in very good healthy fats called omega-3s.
Well, you mentioned the inflammation. That's one of the, you know, when we talk about just aging in general, the two big, you know, modifiers or things that force us to age or help with it is a state of inflammation and, you know, drop-offs in hormone levels. can cause that. So anything we can do to try to minimize, you know, inflammatory processes, I mean, even when you get that spike in insulin, it'll raise uric acid levels up, which then is even more inflammation, you know, in the joints and tissues.
And just for our listeners, uric acid level, a lot of people hear that they have gout or they've been told their loved one has gout, and that's what you see with these high uric acid levels.
Right, so when we do the labs, we do uric acids on everybody and SED rates and cardiac CRPs, and, you know, we look for those sources of inflammation and try to minimize them. And we do see, even when we put patients on restricted diets like that and, you know, an anti-inflammatory diet, it's kind of a vogue diet right now, it does make a big difference. And we had a good thing for lowering glycemic index came up, that is, if you put lemon juice on anything, it actually will lower its glycemic index. So, you know, putting that lemon juice on your meal right beforehand, or even in your salad, it'll lower the glycemic index of that food intake.
I started sucking lemons last week. I'm just cutting them in half and sucking them. The dentist doesn't like
it, but
hey.
Yellow, but...
Well, I think this is also such great information. You touched on hormones. So let's get to hormones and kind of briefly go through this, because we really can't touch on dementia and Alzheimer's and all the things that kind of go along with it without discussing hormone changes.
Right. So when it comes to hormones, that's one of the areas that, I'm going to be honest, I don't know as well as I'd like to. I think it's an area of research that we really need to focus on. And, you know, there was initial a lot of excitement that, you know, postmenopausal women taking hormones would reduce their risk. Then some other research that came out didn't really show that. So I'm going to be really honest. I think the jury is still out when it comes to direct effects. Now, that's evidence answers. If I'm taking evidence-based answers aside and looking at kind of the common sense approach, then I absolutely do think, and I'm fairly certain, that a smart approach to hormones is absolutely essential for Alzheimer's prevention and treatment. I'm fairly certain of that. I just don't know how to do it,
yeah.
You know, in my clinical practice.
Yeah, I think that as far as female hormones go, you know, the Women's Health Initiative study that, you know, the average woman was, you know, 60-ish, and they were using horse estrogen as the replacement.
Yeah.
It just muddied the waters completely.
Yeah.
You know, currently sweeping the country, of course, is for men testosterone replacement. And, I mean, there's just no doubt that the men that get testosterone replacement, I see it in our practice. They are more vibrant. Their cognition is better. They have more energy. I mean, just empirically speaking, there's no doubt in my mind it makes a difference.
It's not just the men, though. It's the women, too, that have these lower testosterone. And now that we're seeing more labile issues here, and we're seeing that people are sitting at their desks too much, they're not getting the movements that they need, then we're seeing all kinds of hormone issues we didn't see before, because we know that exercise and regular exercise helps keep those hormone levels at their highest. But let's talk a minute about the female testosterone issue.
Well, I know Dr. Isaacson is you know, looking for those prospective trials. The problem is that they would never pass the ethics board to say we're going to, you know, treat or not treat. So it's not just going to be case-controlled studies. It's never going to be a blinded study probably that would ever get approved. That's part of the issue of getting those studies done. I see it in my practice. You know, I've got older guys that have got testosterone levels that are great, but guess what? They're the ones at 75 that are, you know, cognitively there and physically there, and they've kept them up through good nutrition and exercise, and they don't need replacement. And then I've got 25, 30-year-old guys that have hormone levels that are terrible, women that are low. I had a young lady that's 31 came in, and her testosterone was near nothing. She was actually referred in by her psychiatrist for evaluation to help see if there was a hormonal issue contributing to her depression. And I think there is. Yeah.
Bingo.
So at 31, but she's overweight, not exercising, yeah. Not a great diet, and...
But, you know, they don't all have to be overweight. I mean, it's really interesting to look at the different patients that come in, that if you had to just say, oh, I bet that person has it, you can't always guess. I mean, you have people that come in that you think, oh, they, you know, they're in great physical shape.
Well, it goes both
ways.
I had a 57, 58-year-old lady the other day who had great testosterone levels. I mean, she had, you know, way up there, but she's been one of those who's maintained physical health and exercise,
yeah.
And eats very lean, almost the near starvation diet kind of thing. I mean, not that she's anorexic by any measure. But
I bet she fasts 12 hours, just like Dr. Isaacs.
Well, as a matter of fact, she does, because I know she gets up in the morning and exercises, and then says, she tell me her kind of her day pattern, comes back home afterwards. afterwards and eats breakfast. So
exactly,
she does do it.
That sounds like you, Dr. Isaacson.
Absolutely. You know, real quickly on this, there is a strong biological basis for hormone therapies. You know, estrogen, testosterone, etc. I mean, you know, estrogen can actually reduce production of beta amyloid, which is the bad protein that's in the brains of patients with Alzheimer's. So there is so many potential connections here. And you know, Carl Sagan said the absence of evidence does not imply evidence of absence or something like that. The take-home point is we don't need evidence. We need to treat a patient clinically, and you have to treat comprehensively, and this is exactly the right way to think about these things.
Well, that, you know, we talk about that a lot, how you hear, well, there's no study to prove it. Okay, well, that probably means somebody hadn't funded it yet. You know, there's no study to prove that the sky is blue, but it is.
Right.
There's no study to prove that I love my husband, but I do. You know,
well,
you don't
there is a study. Well, no.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, people get so wrapped up in this, quote, right, evidence-based medicine, right, but it's sometimes it's great and important, and other times it's not. Okay, we've got about 2 minutes. Let's touch on supplements. And the one thing that I really want to stress to listeners, and we do talk about this on the show all the time, is that supplements are not regulated by the FDA. And so if you go to the grocery store and you pick up supplements and they say they have whatever they have in them, there's no proof that that's what's in them. That's why we always recommend pharmaceutical grade supplements. We do tell our listeners stayyoungvitamins.com is just one of the places you can get pharmaceutical grade supplements. But let's talk about omega-3, vitamin D, and resveratrol and some of the ones. And if we don't finish, we'll go to a break and we'll come back and finish.
Sure. So I really believe that not only is there evidence for supplements, even though we need to do more research, very specific supplements have definitely had clinical efficacy or effectiveness, in my clinical practice with my patients. I take these myself. I believe in them, not just based on the research, but also based on the science. When it comes to omega-3, real briefly, again, all fish oils are not created equal. The type of fish oil, the type of omega-3 fatty acid that is key when it comes to memory loss prevention and treatment is DHA, doxahexaenoic acid, and you need fairly high amounts, and there's been proof that you can have, say, at least 900 milligrams of DHA per day to reduce the likelihood or potentially improve memory, and you may need more than that, though, when it comes to treatment. When it comes to vitamin D, that I believe in it strongly. The Framingham study, the big study of, you know, it definitely supports it, but we don't have great, you know, randomized, prospective, blah, blah, blah evidence. Doesn't matter. I still recommend it if it's okay with the primary care physician. Resveratrol, very interesting stuff. I actually took resveratrol, these little chews. They tasted good, but they got stuck in my teeth. You know, I think resveratrol is brain protective, but I don't know the amounts yet, and we need more research.
We're going to send you a bottle of ours, Richard.
We are. We got to go to a break, but you got to stay tuned because this is great stuff. And when we come back, we're going to talk about chocolate and the Mediterranean diet, what they have in common.
Do you need a little help getting around but don't like the look or feel of a traditional walker? You're too young to be bothered with one of those clunky old things. Whether you need assistance permanently or just temporarily, the Active Life Support Cart is your solution. This three-wheel design is made of lightweight aluminum and perfect for indoor and outdoor use and easy to travel with. We know that you want to remain active, so it's designed to help you carry everything from your cell phone to a fishing pole. Also, each cart comes with a water bottle and a canvas bag. Adjustable for height, this really is for everyone. Doorways, grass, snow, no problem. You can get through them all with ease. The support cart comes fully assembled and is handmade in America. Sold exclusively at ActiveLifeSupportCart.com. Whether it's for you or a loved one, order yours today at ActiveLifeSupportCart.com. Use coupon code TEXAS33 for a special discount at ActiveLifeSupportCart.com.
Do you know someone who has suffered a heart attack or has been diagnosed with late-stage cancer? If you are like everyone else, you do. And those people would love the opportunity to turn back time because, in many cases, life-threatening diseases can be prevented if found early. You owe it to yourself and to your family to take that extra step. The Executive Medicine of Texas Executive Physical Program is designed to put patients back in the driver's seat. Forget the 10-minute physical and plan on spending half the day discovering your health status and making plans for improvement. Take charge of your health today and call Executive Medicine of Texas at 817-552-4300 or visit the website at emtexas.com. Again, the number is 817-552-4300. That's 817-552-4300. 1-800-273-8000 and on the web at emtexas.com.
This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. If you are still seeking out the fountain of youth, wait no longer. In our book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, you will find useful information on every page. From grocery store must-haves for a younger and healthier you to advice on sex and your health. The book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health works like a health and wellness journal that allows you to apply the information in a way that is personal and specific to your circumstances. There is no better time to get healthier and feel younger, and no better place to get your health information than from the experts on preventative and proactive health. Visit stayyoungthebook.com or call 1-800-910-3932. Again, you can purchase your copy today by visiting stayyoungthebook.com or by calling 1-800-910-3932.
Do you have symptoms that have gone unexplained despite previous evaluations? Sometimes as a physician, our job is to be a detective. Luckily, modern medicine allows us now to see things at even the smallest level, the cellular level. Micronutrient deficiencies can cause various symptoms, everything from fatigue, leg pains, headaches, decreased sexual desire. Call Executive Medicine of Texas today at 817-552-4300 and schedule a micronutrient test. Many symptoms can be explained by these nutritional deficiencies. You can also find a chart that details the different deficiencies and the common symptoms associated with those on our website at emtexas.com. That number again at Executive Medicine of Texas, 817-552-4300. Again, you're welcome to visit us on our website, emtexas.com.
Welcome back to the Staying Young Show. This is Judy, and I'm here with Dr. Mark Anderson and Dr. Walter Gammon, and we're the voices of Executive Medicine of Texas. You can visit us on the web at emtexas.com or download past shows by going to iTunes and searching the Staying Young Show. This whole hour has been about nutrition and memory. I was going to say I forgot what we were talking about, but that's
lame.
Corny. But our guest, Dr. Richard Isaacson, is a Harvard-trained neurologist, and he also is the author of the book, The Alzheimer's Diet, and he's shed some light on this whole nutrition and memory thing. We've gone in all kinds of direction. I don't think we've put it so much information into one show than we have this one. But we left off talking about resveratrol. We had to go to a break because our breaks are hard for the commercials. But let's get back on resveratrol. You had mentioned, Dr. Isaacson, that you had one and it was a chewable, got stuck in your teeth. But when we started taking resveratrol ourselves, was it 2 years ago, maybe?
A little over that. So I'll share with him. I did my own little experiment. There's a little iPhone app called Smart Age or
Mental
Age? Brain Age. Yeah. Mental Age. That's it. Mental Age. Yeah, I can't remember. But, so it's a series of little exercises you do on there, and it gives you what your mental age is compared to norms, et cetera. So I did a trial 30 days before starting the resveratrol, same time of day, and tried to control as many variables, not as scientific as possible. Mental age was 28. Took the resveratrol 60 days, it dropped to 25. I've had that similar response in a couple relatives who I've had do the same type of experiment on their own. So, I mean, when we've got them on the resveratrol, oftentimes they do notice some cognitive improvements, and especially I think the older patients notice it more mm-hmm. than maybe the younger ones do because they get that initial lengthening of the telomere with the resveratrol.
Well, I even have a sister with MS who says that she felt so much better on it. She couldn't believe it. But let's talk about how we kind of came about. There is a guy named Robert Pappas, and he actually did a documentary. He interviewed all of these people on aging. I'm not sure if you know who he is, but he interviewed Sinclair. He interviewed, all of them. And he did this documentary, To Age or Not to Age. For our listeners, you can hear that segment on iTunes. It's probably our most downloaded show. But one of the things, every single person, doesn't matter where he was, whether he was at Oxford or Harvard, wherever, they all, hands down, all of these scientists were on resveratrol. So when we started researching, what the heck is, why, what is this? Why is this that, everybody's on this? And we found a couple of things out. We found out that how it's processed in relationship to light and heat is very important. The type that's put in there, like in our resveratrol, trans resveratrol, which is Resvita, which is a pure form of resveratrol. And then, of course, how long it's shelved, how it's encapsulated, all of that was so important. So when we decided to add resveratrol to the Stay Young vitamin line, we went through like tons of research to make sure we have two labs that create our pharmaceutical grade stuff. And we went through a ton of research, and where we thought we were going to get it, we ended up not getting it. We got it at the other lab because they met all the criteria that we had learned, the science behind what makes it effective and doesn't make it effective.
I think that goes to what he was saying, that the problem with supplements is they're all over the place. They're not FDA regulated. So, and the jury's going to be out on that. I mean, to do the study on resveratrol, you almost have to go into the manufacturer, or any of these, the process of manufacturing the supplement, because to make it a scientific study, it's going to have to be pretty consistent.
Yeah.
You know? The tolerances are going to be pretty low. You can't be all over the place.
Yeah, I agree. Now, okay, let's talk about chocolate in the Mediterranean diet. We're going to change a little bit, and let's talk about chocolate, because I love chocolate. I love dark chocolate. So you're telling me that this is good for me, right?
Well, so I'm a dark chocoholic, and that's my one vice. I eat a little too much dark chocolate, because the problem is in dark chocolate, you also have sugar and more butter, and then the dark cocoa powder. And what we've recently found is that, you know, we've known that the antioxidants in dark cocoa powder are most likely helpful. And then we did research, and it was great for cardiovascular and all these other things. Well, finally, there was a study looking at dark cocoa powder, not the actual dark chocolate, but dark cocoa powder in very specific doses, 500 milligrams of cocoa flavanols each day. Those patients not only improve their memory function, they also improve their blood pressure control, as well as, here it comes again, insulin resistance. So we can basically tie together how insulin reduces inflammation and it can, you know, and all of these things together. Dark cocoa powder, for example, I add it to my coffee in the mornings, and everything in moderation when it comes to coffee, a few cups earlier in the day when it comes to brain health, based on the research I've read, does look okay. So I add dark cocoa powder to my coffee, 4 to 6 ounces or so in the morning is what I personally do. And there's just all these different ways to use antioxidants to help the brain.
Okay, so what about these chocolate bars that I'm addicted to, like you? So, you know, I can do the hello, my name is Judy, how long have you been addicted to dark chocolate? But what about the chocolate bars that say like 92% cocoa? I mean...
Better than milk chocolate or white chocolate when it comes to brain healthiness. But when it comes to probably the best that you can do, the dark cocoa powder probably has the most biggest bang for your buck.
So you just buy the powder, like on the baking aisle?
Basically, I mean, you know, there's different brands out there that have different amounts of cocoa flavanols. There's only one brand that was done in the study. So the study that was done had a brand that actually had 250 milligrams of cocoa flavanols per packet. You need about 500 per day. So if you can find the amount of cocoa flavanols, that's the one you want to choose.
Okay, so what's in your pantry? Come on, give it up. What is it?
I have no commercial affiliation to something called Cocovia. Cocovia is basically, I think it's produced by Mars or something like that, and you can find it and get it from there. There's actually a website called therapyformemory.org that actually has all the different types of cocoa, that actually has the cocoa powder, exactly the one that I'm talking about.
Well, I think that's great. And yeah, I know. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you that, so, gotcha. But thanks for sharing.
No worries at all.
So we've got about 4 minutes left, and before we leave, our listeners leave, I want you to, don't do it now, but I want you to give out, your 2-minute elevator speech about what they should be doing. But before we do that, in the book, there's so much stuff in this book. I'm telling you, it's, I don't know how many pages is this thing. It's big. It's almost 300 pages, 276, I think. But on page 92, you have alternative choice. And so you list out things that you would normally eat.
Yep.
And then next to it, you have alternative choice.
Yep. So basically, any single person can make brain healthier selections every single day, and the incremental changes over time is the best thing that you can do to not only reduce your risk of Alzheimer's, but also improve memory function. And actually, on our Facebook page and on our blogs, we actually have people submit what their normal foods are, and then the experts, our team, basically respond to them and say, hey, this is what we would do to make your food brain healthier. And, you know, if you want a hot fudge sundae, you can have one. If you want a pepperoni pizza, there's a brain healthier pepperoni pizza. Even a cheeseburger, you can make that brain healthier. And this is the philosophy. We want to make your belly and your body happy at the same time, as well as improving brain function.
So if they go to alzheimersdiet.com, is that how they can link up to your blog? Is that where it is?
Yeah, actually, I think it's mostly on our Facebook page that we respond to people, but it's basically facebook.com/Alzheimer's disease. Pretty simple.
Wow.
And you can actually go on there.
You must have got on there early.
Yeah, we've been on there for a long time now, and have a really nice community, people responding. It's really rewarding when people just like thank you for the help. And, you know, we have an Alzheimer's diet blog that you can get to, thealzheimersdiet.com or alzheimersdiet.com. And there's a variety of blogs and writings. And you're welcome to check it out.
That's great. That's great. All our listeners should check it out. Okay. Give them your elevator speech.
So there's no one magic thing, but there's at least 10 things you can do. Number one, get educated and get informed. Learn the differences between the good proteins and bad, carbohydrates and fats. Wean yourself away from the high glycemic carbohydrates. Mediterranean style is the way to go. Fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, fish, chicken, and turkey. Specific fish, lake trout, mackerel, herring, albacore tuna, sardines, wild salmon is better than farm-raised salmon in terms of those omega-3s. The good fats versus bad fats, super important. We talked about DHA. Feeding your brain antioxidants is so essential. Berries, strawberries, and blueberries, actually in one study, can delay the onset of Alzheimer's by over 2 years by having 2 servings of strawberries and blueberries. That's a half a cup per serving every week. Actually increase that unsweetened cocoa powder like we talked about. Consume the brain-healthy vitamins, B6, B12, folic acid, vitamin D are probably the best one when it comes to brain health. Choose whole foods. Read the ingredient labels. Choose lower non-fat dairy options. And remember, like we said, no snacking. Do that 12 to 14 hour fast, and you may be able to protect your brain function.
All right, folks, and that was really quick.
Now they're going to have to download that.
That's what I was going to say. They got to go to iTunes now.
Play it back real slow,
over and over, and then for each other. Okay, so.
So let me guess, you're related to the guy that does the disclaimer within the car lease ads. Is that right?
I only had a minute.
So you did great.
You did great. All right. So we're gonna wrap it up, but I'm gonna tell you one thing that we drink every morning, and I want you to give me an idea if you think a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Every morning, this is what goes into a smoothie. 2 cups of mango nectar, 3 leaves of black kale, a cup of blueberries, a half a cup of raspberries, and is that it? Oh, and 5 strawberries. So is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
If I had 3 thumbs, I'd put 3 thumbs up.
Yes!
That's the brain healthy morning breakfast. That's great.
All right, now you really got to go to iTunes, folks, because you got to learn this. Hey, you've been listening to Staying Young Show. We'll see you next week. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. You can start feeling the effects of hormone changes as early as 30 years of age. And if you're a man or a woman with symptoms of fatigue, loss of stamina, lack of concentration, or a dwindling sex drive, then you may be the perfect candidate for bioidentical hormone therapy. Forget the shots or messy creams. At Executive Medicine of Texas, we offer BioT bioidentical hormone therapy pellets that are more effective and more convenient. If you're ready to get back to a more youthful version of you, call us today at 817-552-4300 or go to the web at emtexas.com. Again, that's 817-552-4300 or on the web at emtexas.com. You can have an increased sex drive, more stamina, and a leaner version of you. Just call 817-552-4300 or go to the web at emtexas.com. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. If you are still seeking out the fountain of youth, wait no longer. In our book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, you will find useful information on every page. From grocery store must-haves for a younger and healthier you to advice on sex and your health. The book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health works like a health and wellness journal that allows you to apply the information in a way that is personal and specific to your circumstances. There is no better time to get healthier and feel younger, and no better place to get your health information than from the experts on preventative and proactive health. Visit stayyoungthebook.com or call 1-800-910-3932. Again, you can purchase your copy today by visiting stayyoungthebook.com or by calling 1-800-910-3932.